you know, this is the thought that I was been mulling over all night and all this morning, is the fact that we as living stones in this spiritual house, this holy priesthood, mm-hmm. our engagement is worship, a lifestyle of worship, where our thoughts and our desires and our interests go to the one who inhabits the house. And that's a very powerful thing. You know, just to get a handle on, you know, some of these things, look at Hebrews 13. Yeah. There's two samples or examples of what sacrifices might be. And one of them, which I say this to me as if I'm talking in a mirror, because this is one that I struggle with as well. But looking at Hebrews 13, verse 15, and interesting, both in Peter and here, it tells us that we don't do this through our own energy. It's through the provision and the current ministry of the Lord Jesus. It says, by him, and him here is Christ, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. In the Authorized Version it says given thanks. I like that. In the other translation it says boasting in his name. And so the first kind of worship and sacrifices that we offer is that which boasts in the Lord, boasts in God, gives thanks to God, that recognizes the one who is the inhabitor of the house. We praise him, that our lives is a continuous stream of praise, gratitude, thanksgiving, and boasting in him. And the one I was telling you about in terms of struggle for myself is this idea of thanksgiving, of being thankful. You know, and the danger that we, and one of the characteristics of the last days is that men are going to be what? Unthankful. And so we live our lives and we go through our circumstances, and you know, if you have coworkers like I do, you know, and we find fault and complain about every and anything. And one of the distinctions that should mark those of us who are now this royal priest, who understand the one who inhabits this spiritual house, that he's sovereign and rules over all things, is that we accept all things as from his hand. And I don't complain, I give thanks. That's a real practical example of how living a life that's marked as a characteristic of worship. Then the next verse it says, but also do good. And here's going to, you know, we're going to have to get really serious here. Give up some money. Dig deep in your pockets and take out some money. It says, do good and communicate. That's a nice Authorized Version word of saying giving. He says, do good and communicate, and forget not, for which such sacrifices God is well pleased. And so it's giving of ourselves, giving of our resources, our time, talents, everything, because of the one who dwells in that house.
I was, as Mark spoke, in verse 15, it says, therefore by him let us continually. It isn't something that we do intermittently. It's to be done continually. Any thoughts from the audiences?
This sort of reminds me of Romans 12.
Amen.
I'll still just read it and then we can comment on it. Romans 12.
Yeah.
What Brother Mark was saying about the constant state of worship and attitude of worship. In Romans 12, verse, starting at verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And then continuing, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Yeah, and I would just say, following that up, that in Romans, there's two main types of words that are used in the New Testament for worship. One means to fall down into his presence. That's what we have in the idea of a holy priest, falling down into his presence. Hebrews 13:15 offering up the sacrifices of praise. We're falling down in his presence, and we're giving him worth. And in the actual Latin word, where we get our word worship from, actually it used to be worth-ship. So when you think about that, that's what we're doing. But the word here, it means now we go out of his presence and we live what we believe. We give him worship by living it. And that's what's here in Romans chapter 12. And that's the second part of what Mark was bringing us to in verse 16 of Hebrews 13. And I want to just give us an example of what this looks like. To me, when I look at this, there's two sides to our priesthood. There's our holy priesthood, mm-hmm. and there's our royal priesthood. And our holy priesthood is we acknowledge the presence of God, and we give him worship and praise. We offer up the sacrifice of praise to him. And our royal priesthood, then we go out of his presence, which we never really do. But you know what I mean. We're not in the posture of praise per se, but now we're living it day by day, and we are giving testimony to those around us in our royal priesthood. An example of this is to me is in Acts chapter 16. But what's interesting is it's not really a collective sense of being a holy priest. But in Acts chapter 16, you remember Paul was there in prison. And at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Interesting. Here we have two sides to this idea. They were offering up the sacrifices of praise to God in the midst of what was difficult circumstances, but they were above those circumstances. They were in the presence of God, and they were offering up these sacrifices to God as holy priests before God. An amazing thing, in application, if you will. And so here's a tremendous thing. And as a result, them functioning as holy priests in application, as a result of that, we find a little bit later down, remember when the jailer comes out, he was going to kill himself. They said, don't do yourself any harm. Mm-hmm. And then he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He takes him to his home. He gets saved, his family, his household, and so forth. And it's a tremendous story. Well, when Paul offered up the sacrifices of praise, that opened up the door then and affected those around him, that his life was characterized by this idea of, if you will, holy priesthood in such a way that then it penetrated into the lives of others as a royal priest. And that's the overlapping. And that's what I want us to see. That it's not, okay, I'm coming together with brothers and sisters. I'm functioning as a holy priest. This is now. That's true. But I can be a holy priest outside of collective, and I can offer up sacrifices. But more importantly, when I'm enjoying the Lord for myself, and I'm enjoying this position, then I can go and I can affect the lives of other people as a royal priest.